Well, hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to another version of the Voices of Courage show. I'm your host, Ken D. Foster. It's really great to have you today. You know, I have a very special guest today. He's been in Hollywood for many, many years, done 150 films or so. And today we're going to be talking about the courage to reinvent yourself. You know, a lot of you out there are kind of stuck in your ways, stuck in a place where, you know that you have more potential. You know that you like to upshift your life. You know that you'd like to take the next step. And you're wondering, how the heck do I do that? You see people around all the time reinventing themselves, changing up their lives, changing up their environments, changing up their friends, their family, their work, their careers, and everything else. You know, but how do you do it? Well, I've got my guest that's going to give us some enlightenment around that. You know why? You know, think about doing 150 films. How many times do you have to reinvent yourself to do that? Whole bunch. He's also got a new book out that I believe is going to be a best-selling book. You know, we'll be talking about that on the show today. And today is really about you, though. You know, it's not about him or me. It's really about you. This show is all about you. And today I want you to think about your vision. You know, what's your future vision? What is that for you? All right. Spend a little time with that. You know, why do you want to accomplish what you want to accomplish to the next level of your life? And what's it going to take? You know, do you have to develop some new skills, new habits, new ways of showing up in the world? Do you have to change your mind to increase what's possible for you? You know, you're generating this life, right? We all are. So for you today, this could be a life-changing, life-shifting day. I learned in my life, if you want to change yourself, find a mentor. Find somebody around you that has already gone through what you want to go through. So if you're in that place, you want to reinvent yourself, today's the day to do that. And like I said, I have a very special guest that's going to help us do that. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll get back and I'll introduce you to my very special friend and guest.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. As I promised, my very special guest is Jeff Rector today. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. You know, there was a great intro, Ken, and just being on your show is a big step. So,
well, listen,
I'm invigorated just by your opening.
Well, you know, I'm invigorated, you know, when I met you. And, you know, we met at that Women's Empowerment event there in Hollywood. You know, it was a great event. It was great to meet you. And we did a little interview there, too. Jeff, some of my audience doesn't know you, so I want to introduce you properly to them. Okay. So Jeff is an American actor. He's an award-winning writer, director, producer, comedian, and adventurer. He has appeared in over 150 television shows and motion pictures and has traveled to exotic locations all over the world. He's worked with stars such as Tom Cruise, Charlie Sheen, Richard Gere, Julia Roberts, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Tom Hanks, to name a few. But Jeff doesn't like to name drop. No. He's also a certified ski instructor, scuba diver, trained by the LA Fire Department as a certified rescue response technician. Jeff has also swam with the sharks down at Tahiti, water skied in Kualan Bay, and jumped from an airplane as a lead in a skydiving film. I love that one. He's also got a new book out, and I think this is your first book that's based on your life, Jeff. So we'll be talking about that today. I can hardly wait to get into that. All right. Listen, you know, you've done a lot in your life.
It's the first of many, I have to tell you, Ken. People go, oh, a book about your life, that's great, but it's really only a 10-year period from 1985 to 1995. And some of the key parts of my life where my career kind of took off and I had a great experience working with Playboy Enterprises, which, of course, we'll talk about. But then I've got three books after that, each with a 10-year span. So there was too many stories to and experiences to put into one book. So it's a series, and there's three more books after this just to catch us up till today. So,
well, I love that. And I love it's about your life and your writing to, you know, as we talk, to educate, to inspire, to, you know, maybe share some of your life lessons so others can learn from that and grow themselves. And of course, be entertained along the way. You know, I love that about you, Jeff. You are an entertainer.
The humor, I've been told, and there's a lot of very funny stories, and it's really a fun read. It's not, you know, I'm not some mythical guru that's going to solve your life's problems. And I don't want to be, you know, that's not who I am, but there are some motivational stories and experiences. If I can do it, you can too. And it's just, it's more fun than anything else, but it's also educational and inspirational.
I love that. Well, listen, before I dive a little deeper into the book with you, I'd like to get my audience to get to know you a little more. So, you know, looking back over your journey, growing up in Southern California to becoming a Hollywood insider, what are some of the biggest turning points in your world?
Well, getting in the Screen Actors Guild was the first one. You know, that's the union that actors have to be in to really be considered a professional actor. And I was 18 when that happened. So that was a major turning point. Some of the big jobs starring in my first film, of course, was a huge turning point in my life, working with alongside celebrities as peers that I grew up watching on TV and in the movies, and now I'm starring alongside them. That was really one of those awe-inspiring moments. Wow. You know, the book is a big deal. Making my first film, transferring from being a working actor to an award-winning filmmaker, was a big deal. So it's a progression of steps and steps up the ladder. As we all know in life, you've got to keep stepping up the ladder towards your dream, and each one of those steps really is a life-defining moment.
I'm wondering what drove you here, right? What were the values or the habits that you put in place that, you know, especially during challenging times you went through, what helped you?
Centra drove me here, actually. I'm getting about 35 miles per gallon.
And besides,
our knees down. This isn't a promo. I'm not getting any. Just so you know, there's no promotional fees.
And besides the car, in the inside of you, is there anything that like motivated you and inspired you to keep moving forward in the tough times?
Family, my parents, who've always been supportive. God, of course. You know, I'm a Christian, and I was raised with Christian beliefs, and gosh, without God and the Lord to be that inner spiritual support system, I couldn't do it. I mean, I could tell you a million stories how he saved my life and changed my life. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my faith and for God. So that and family and the confidence in myself that I can do it. And I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to let anybody stand in my way. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not going to listen to the negative voices out there in the world, because there's plenty. And people can't wait to tell you what you can't do, what you can't acquire, you know, the success that you won't ever see. And you've got to drown out those voices and keep the inner voice and the God within you that says you can do it and to move forward. Otherwise, I don't see how anybody can be successful in anything.
Well, I know a lot of people are scrambling around, you know, trying to be successful, you know, listening to people on their phones, you know, on X or Facebook or Instagram, and everybody's got an advice, you know, how to do things. I'm glad you brought God.
MySpace. Oh, wait, I just dated myself. Never mind.
You know, I love your humor too. You know, I think some of my audience wonders, because I think people get caught up in doubt and uncertainty, okay, which I believe is one of the biggest success stoppers.
Self-doubt fear will kill you every time. Yeah. I did this skydiving movie, and it's one of the stories in the book, and I almost killed myself skydiving as I was training to be the lead in this movie, and I survived it, thank God. The Lord, another example of how the Lord saved my butt. But I was so scared after that experience, I wanted to get in my car and drive away as fast as possible. And I said, if I do that, I'll never be able to jump again, right? We got to face those fears. So I went back up and did the jump all over again. And it was perfect. But I have to tell you, that was probably the scariest, most frightening decision I've ever made, to go back and stare death in the face after I could have been killed, and to do it again. And so now I'm fearless. There's nothing that I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
And you've got to stare, the lesson here is you've got to stare fear in the face to get through it. If you run away from it, then fear wins. Oh, I can't do this, so I'm going to stop here. You've got to face the fear, and you've got to break through it, or it'll be a reoccurring theme in your life that fear is going to stop you from everything you want to do.
Yeah, I had a guest on my show a couple of years ago. His name was Alan Robinson. Alan was the stuntman double for Tom Hanks in several of his movies, and he commented the same thing you are. You know, basically, I asked him about fear. How does he get over the fears, you know, as a stuntman? And he said he basically plans out all his moves until he doesn't feel fear anymore. So if he's jumping out of a plane, he's looking at, you know, I'm afraid to do that. But, you know, he plans it all out, and he uses fear, just as you just mentioned to us. I think that's powerful. Let me ask you, man, I really want to jump into your book, because this goes by so quick. And let's talk about your book. I want to put it on screen real quick so my audience can see what you've done here. And so got a new book out. I was Playboy Rabbit, man, and other stories. And this
was
is
I ever that young? Holy mackerel.
Look at that, man. Yeah, you actually were really good looking. Look, man, that's amazing. Wow.
What happened to me? I used to be hot.
I think you still are, bro. Listen, why did you write the book, first of all? What did you want to was it like you just thought you'd journal your life, or you wanted to get, you know?
I had to journal my life. I've seen so much. I've experienced so much. I've been so fortunate. My God. in my life and everything I've done and accomplished and seen and traveled. And I got to share, whether anybody, listen, if one person is interested in my life, then writing this book was worth it. I had to journal it. I got to put it down on paper. That's my legacy. I mean, for better, for worse, for indifference, it's there. And it's a record of my journey through life. And it's an amazing one. And it's still just getting started. I'm doing a couple of new projects, which I won't get into right now. But I'm, like you said, we've got to keep reinventing ourselves. And I'm even doing that as of this morning.
Give me a glimpse into it, you know, and also why you chose that title.
Pick a chapter to go into it. Well, the big story in this 10-year period, again, I worked for Playboy Enterprises. I was a struggling actor, you know, trying to make my way in Hollywood. At the time, I had moved to New York. I was living in L.A., had an agent, was doing commercials, was modeling, had a decent career, but I really wasn't getting the television and film roles that I thought I should be getting. So I decided, my parents moved to New York, so I decided it might be a nice transition to go there and see the Big Apple, right? The Big Apple, New York. So I did it, and I was, you know, working my way as a waiter, like everybody, like all good actors do, you know, waiter, bartender, whatever it takes to pay those bills while you're pursuing your dream. And Playboy decided to open a new club. It was called the Playboy Empire Club. Now, at the time, Christy Hefner took over Playboy because Hugh, unfortunately, was spending a lot of leveraging a lot of money and, you know, having his lavish parties, and Playboy magazine was faltering. So his daughter, Christy, was a business major. She was super, super sharp. She wanted a new Playboy club that catered to men and women, a real New York nightclub for everyone. So they decided to hire rabbits, the male version of the Playboy bunny. They didn't want to have another all-men's club, you know, ogling over the bunnies. So I got hired as a rabbit, a male version of the Playboy bunny. Basically, it was a glorified waiter's job. But if you're going to work as a waiter in New York, why not work for the Playboy Club? They basically paid us to party. It was amazing. And so a lot of the stories in the book are focused on that portion of my life.
Very good. Well, I can hardly wait to read the stories about the Playboy experiences that you had. I think, you're being humble here, but I think,
it was every guy's dream job.
It was every guy's dream job.
I'll tell you that. Every guy wanted that job in New York.
And you landed. Did it?
And I was in both the rabbits and the new bunnies. We were instant celebrities, right? We were Playboy. Yeah. We were in People Magazine, Newsweek, the New York Times. Malcolm Forbes was at the opening party. Celebrities galore. Everybody wanted to be in that club. So even though we were quote unquote servers, we were celebrities. I got into every club. Club 54 was big back then, right? We got into every club, every restaurant. We didn't have to worry about a reservation. We were the first in line, so it was really exciting.
It opened a lot of doors for you. Now, did it open your acting career up for you also?
I don't think so, but that level of celebrity always kind of moves into your professional life too, right? Nobody hired me because I worked for Playboy or I was a rabbit, but it was like, oh wow, he did that. It just, you know, it looks good on paper, and it's something not only 20-25 guys in the history of the world can ever say that they were that. And then when I moved back to LA, from New York, I got invited to all the Playboy Mansion parties. So all of a sudden now I'm you know, hanging out with Ben Affleck and Bill Maher and Jack Black and Lou Ferrigno and David Hasselhoff. I mean, you name it. And then one great thing about the Playboy Mansion is you don't get in there unless you're somebody, right? So everybody was treated the same. So I could talk to Ben Affleck, anybody, like a peer, because they knew I wasn't there if I wasn't somebody. And I've never experienced that kind of camaraderie and acceptance in any other situation. And it was quite amazing.
I love that. Well, it sounds like, not a bad bunch of guys to hang around with, you know, if you're getting trying to launch your career in Hollywood. So
it was not bad. I remember one party, James Franco is, a very famous actor at the time, was super hot. And I'd met him a couple of times. So I said, "Hey, James, how you doing?" He was talking to a pretty blonde at the bar and he introduced me and he goes, "Oh, Jeff, do you know Paris Hilton?" And I said, "Oh no, nice to meet you, Paris." So I was hanging out, having a couple of drinks. You know, I didn't want to impose. I said, "Hey, great to see you, James." Yeah. So it's like these are the kind of people that are just, your new best friend.
I love that. I love your new best friend. Surreal. Yeah. Lesson one. I got to take a break. We get back. I want to talk about transformation. And how writing this book transformed you. So we'll be right back.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, "Hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now." So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call, so please call right now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Ken D. Foster here. It's great to have you back with us today. And I'll be right. My guest is still here, of course. We'll be right back with him. I did want to mention this to you. We have a YouTube channel up there, and I encourage you to go and subscribe to it. You can go to youtube.com/The Courage Network, youtube.com/@. Use the at sign, The Courage Network. That way you'll be able to subscribe and see all of our shows. You won't miss any of them. And of course, most importantly, you can pass them on to your family and friends so that they will also be able to share in what you're learning and growing and being the best version of you. All right. Back to my guest, Jeff. Okay.
Still here.
Transformations.
Still here.
You go through any transformation?
Transformation. Oh, me.
Is that are you wearing a mask right now, or is this the real Jeff? I want to know.
For better or for worse, folks, this is the real me. But before I get into that, let me just touch upon the other part of the book. Part of it's about working for Playboy, but the other part was some of the great success that I had following that. So the club closed after only a year and a half. And we were right back. We were out of a job again, right? We were right back on the streets. So I got a call from a casting agency. She said the new movie is coming into town, Wall Street, directed by Oliver Stone, starring Charlie Sheen. They're looking for a stand-in, and you're perfect. So long story short, they liked me. She basically said, if Oliver Stone or Charlie don't like you after the first day, you're gone. So we did the first day, went great. I did everything I was supposed to. The AD came up, said, "Great job. We'll see you tomorrow at 7. So I got the gig. I worked 3 months on Wall Street. I wound up with a speaking role in it. Got to be friends with Charlie and Michael Douglas, Daryl Hannah, Sean Young. I mean, what a cast. It was an actor's dream. So that was a big stepping stone and a big step up the ladder. Then once that was done, I was ready to move back to L.A. The same casting agent called. They said, "Cocktail's coming into town. They want to stand in for Tom Cruise. You're perfect." I talked to them. They said that I told them about you and Charlie Sheen on Wall Street. They instantly hired me. So then I stood in for Tom Cruise on Cocktail. So I went from this great job as the Playboy Rabbit to now working on two major studio films with Tom Cruise and Charlie Sheen. So that's the second part of the book and all those fun stories that happened. And then at the end of the book, I moved back to LA, and that's when the next book will pick up. So it's all those great stories and experiences that happened to me in that 10-year period. I'm sorry, 5-year period when I lived in New York.
Give me a little insight. One of these stories about, you know, Michael Douglas or Sheen or Tom Cruise. Any that are in the book. Give me one. I gotta get a little bit here.
Okay. So after a while, you know, the first rule of stand-in work is you don't talk to the star, right? You're there to do a job. You're not there to be their buddy. You're not there to talk about yourself. You keep your mouth shut. You're there when they need you and you do your job. So I did it. And it took, you know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks before Charlie kind of warmed up to me. And then he was inviting me over to his place with the guys, and we'd watch the basketball game and party and stuff. And so I kind of got in his inner circle. So one night I took him to one of my favorite clubs in New York called Nirvana. And we're young guys, right? And Charlie liked to party, and I liked to party, and we were both single guys. So we're doing shots of tequila and having a great time. Well, it's 1:30 in the morning, and we had to work at 7 the next day. So I went, "Hey," we're with another friend of Charlie's. I go, "Hey, guys, I gotta crash. We got to work tomorrow." And I wasn't even, you know, an act. I didn't have to memorize lines. I just had to be his stand-in, right? He's the star. So I go home. I show up at the set at 7 o'clock in the morning, and Charlie's already there. He's sitting on the couch next to Daryl Hannah, and we'd been drinking tequila, and he even stayed up later than I did, right? So got pretty looped drinking tequila. So he's on the set next to Daryl Hannah, and it's the scene in the movie where Daryl breaks up with them. And he gets mad and he picks up a tequila bottle because he'd been drinking tequila all night. And he throws the bottle across the room and it breaks on the wall because he had been up all night drinking tequila. And I'm like, brilliant. He's not a method actor, but I'm like, brilliant. And they did it, you know, in two takes, and boom, they moved on. And he was so sharp. It didn't matter what he did the night before. You show up on the set, you do your job. And that's all the studio cares about.
That's all the
studio. Where I was, and I went to bed.
That's a great story, man. You know, you've there's a lot of characters in this book, like, you know, that you've written about. How did you navigate that in this book? You know, how did you know which one to put in, which one to, you know, how did that all come about?
Basically, it was easy. I just went in chronological order. Okay, I'm going to start here with my experience working in New York as a lowly waiter in Tavern on the Green, right? Just struggling, and how I was getting little jobs here and there, and then it led into Playboy. Then it led into Wall Street and Cocktail. Then I moved back to L.A., and that's when my career really started taking off. I got the first starring role in a movie. And then it was another movie. And then the other 5 years of the TV shows like Star Trek The Next Generation and Father Dowling Mysteries and all those shows that were popular at the time. So it starts as I'm a nothing waiter in New York, And by the end of this first book, I'm a TV and movie celebrity. So I just followed the chronological order of these shows and what happened the next year and the next year and the next year. So I really just followed my resume up until the end. And then each story, each chapter is about a different movie or TV show that I did.
You know, I can't help it as I'm listening to you, Jeff, wonder, was it, destiny and Jeff or Jeff and destiny? In other words, you know, was it, you know, did you create did it just unfold for you?
It was the Lord working in my life. You know, I prayed, please, Lord, help me reach this dream of success. You know how hard I'm working. You know, I love you and this is my dream. And, you know, and you got to work hard and you got to be good. You can't just be mediocre. You know, you've got to have talent, but it's also where talent meets opportunity, meets timing. You've heard that, you know, you've got to be ready when that opportunity knocks.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't matter. The door will close so fast, you won't know what hit you.
Through your career and in the book, I don't know if you talk about this, but did you talk about your ongoing learning, in the craft itself, you know, the schools you went to or didn't go to, or was this it?
I don't, but what I do teach, and I've been teaching acting for 20 years, probably. And I believe we've all got to give back, right? I see these Taylor Swifts and all these people making billions of dollars. What, unless I'm not seeing it, you know, where are they, what charity is it? Where are they giving back the money for everybody that's helped them? And so I found teaching was really good. And I helped several actors that are now working actors. So you got to kind of pass the torch, right? I believe we all have to give back for our success. And, so there's stories in there, not about the acting classes that I took, but lessons that I learned along the way. And here's some tidbits and some pearls of wisdom that I had to learn on my own. Nobody taught it to me, right? I had to learn all this stuff. And when I teach these acting classes, I give them years of all these experiences and pearls of wisdom that I learned on my own. Nobody told it to me, right? So I'm hopefully going to flash forward their career by giving them all this stuff that I didn't know, and I had to find it out by trial and error. But there are some real world experiences, you know, the do's and don'ts, what I learned, and what helped me be successful.
Well, okay. Well, listen, the book is I Was a Playboy Rabbit. The author, of course, is Jeff Rechter. You can get it on the website that we're putting on the screen right now, jeffrechter.com, and then just put in the /shop. And I'm saying this for my listening audience as much as you that are watching.
You're going to love it.
What's that?
You're going to love it.
You're going to love it. Of course. If
you're listening, it's very agreed. It's very entertaining. It's a lot of inside Hollywood stuff. I worked on Pretty Woman. There's a chapter on Jaws 2. You might want to read a couple of the chapter titles just to tell them what's in store. But
yeah, I have the chapter titles. You know what, Jeff? I'm gonna read those titles here. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm gonna give them some insights into what this book is all about. So we'll be right back.
Hi everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Dina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
I'm talking to Hollywood star Jeff Rechter, who's been in over 150 films and movies. We're talking about his new book coming out, I Was a Playboy Rabbit. And Jeff, let me give some insight.
A B movie memoir.
I love that. Some of the chapters that caught my my attention were Double Trouble, Subway Hero, The Gong Show, A Pretty Woman, Star Trek: The Next Generation. We're going to talk about that. Father Dowling Mysteries. Oh my goodness. Street Soldiers, Tornado Run. These are just some of the headlines. Hellmaster in the book here, Legion of the Night, and there's so much more. Terminal Force, aka Galaxies. I'm sharing those titles, the chapter titles to my audience. Give me some insight into a couple of these, man. What the Pretty Woman was?
Relax, sci-fi action film. I did. I co-starred with Brigitte Nielsen, who was Sylvester Stallone's ex-wife. As you know, they had met, and he kind of got her into Hollywood. She was the 6'1", beautiful built, solid bodybuilder. And so I got to, work and hang out with her. We got kind of chummy on the set. Jaws 2, I was up for Roy Scheider's son in the remake of the biggest Jaws film of all time. I didn't get the part. It's the one chapter of in the book that I didn't get the job, but there's all kinds of insights and fun stories regardless of how I wound up being the second choice. And second isn't good enough.
Star Trek, The Next Generation.
You get the party, you don't. It doesn't matter how close you get.
What happened with Star Trek? What's
that? I played alien on the show, and I had 2.5 hours of prosthetic makeup. I was an alien. You'd never recognize me, but all of my scenes are with Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. Yes. Well, I can see those little alien eyes, though. I'll look for your eyes on that.
And even now, that was 1990. So that was 35 years ago. I've been doing, just from that one episode, I've been a guest celebrity at Star Trek conventions all over the world. And that's been a real journey just in that one arc. Yeah. And I'll be a guest at the Las Vegas Star Trek show in August this year. So if you're a Star Trek fan and you want to gamble and you like Las Vegas, and Bill Shatner will be there and 100 other Star Trek stars, That's a fun place to be this August. So, but, you know, I grew up with Star Trek as a kid, and I even played William Shatner. And one of the chapters I talk about playing William Shatner last year in a show called Hustlers, Gamblers, and Crooks, which was on HBO Plus. So I got to play my icon. I mean, not many guys can say that. And so Star Trek alone has been a life-changing experience for me because I grew up watching the show as a kid. Who knew years later that I'd be on the show?
I love it. You know, in the book, we got a few minutes left. The Gong Show. I just got to throw that out there. I mean, the Gong. Were you part of the Gong Show? Were you in there with the?
Double Trouble is the chapter about my twin brother and I. I've got an identical twin brother. When we were younger, we did a lot of twins work, a lot of commercials, did very well. And so early on, the Gong Show was a huge, as you know, was a huge network show produced and hosted by Chuck Barris.
That's right.
And so we found out that anybody could come up with some wacky, crazy little stunt or act, and if it's stupid enough or good enough, you could get on the Gong Show. So we auditioned several times. My brother got on. I didn't. I don't know why we didn't do a twin thing, but we didn't. But he got on the show and I didn't. But years later, I'm on Sunset Boulevard late at night after going to out in one of the clubs. And I, long story short, I meet Chuck Barris's daughter. She's crying in a liquor store. I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "No, my boyfriend broke up with me." And I'm, you know, gave her a shoulder to cry on. And she said, I don't want to be alone right now. Do you want to get some beer and go to my place?" And I go, "Sure." She was beautiful, beautiful, funny young lady. So we wound up dating and being together for several months. And so that's a whole chapter in the book about how I dated Chuck Barris's daughter. It starts out about trying to get on the show and eventually dating his daughter, who it didn't last long because she had some issues with alcoholism and drugs that I didn't know about. And she died of an overdose several years later. So it's that's a really sad chapter, and I don't want to bring anybody down, but it's part of life. And I actually, in the end of that chapter, tell people how they can get help, or, you know, if they are having some emotional issues or psychological issues, to please seek some help. And there's a hotline number and stuff there. And Chuck actually wrote a whole book on his daughter because he felt guilty about the whole thing, even though it wasn't his fault. But so even a sad chapter like that, there's a lesson in there. And you know, I honestly believe that God put me in her life at that time because she needed someone to support her. And even though it had a tragic ending, that I believe I was put into her life for a purpose.
Well, you know, Seth, Hollywood is, you know, can come
it's
out.
It's not all fun and games and glitz and glamour.
It's not. And there's, you know, there's a lot of dark that seems to come out of Hollywood now and then. But, you know, you're a light. You're a bright light in Hollywood, brother. And I'm just really glad to have you here on the show. We're just about out of time, so I want to tell the audience.
Great story, though. What an uplifting story to end this.
Go ahead, go do it. I wanna, you know, let on the screen. We're there, and you know, go get the book. That's what I know. All right, one last story. I got time for a 2-minute story. Go for it. Final thoughts.
I just want to thank you for this opportunity. You know, I've done a lot of podcasts and I'm doing book signings and I'm doing a lot of stuff to promote this book. But this has probably been the most meaningful interview I've ever had. You know, we really dug deep and we've gotten into some uncomfortable topics sometimes, but it's all part of life. And I think we all can learn and grow from it. And I'm just so thankful for what you do, Ken, and this your Courage Network and all these uplifting shows that you do to inspire people, because we need more of that these days.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeff. And I appreciate you coming on, being authentic, real, with high values, talking about God, talking about real things in life, you know, and my audience appreciates it. And I know they're going to appreciate that by going out and getting your book. So thank you so much. I hope you come back on someday, or maybe have a show on the network. Who knows, you know?
Well, when the next book comes out. No, but a lot of exciting things are happening. So I'd love to come back and talk to you anytime.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, one more time, we're going to put that beautiful book cover up on the screen so that you can see it one more time visually. There it is. I Was a Playboy Rabbit and Other Stories by Jeff Rechter.
A B-movie memoir.
A B-movie memoir. Love it. All right. Okay,
Jeff. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching, and I really appreciate your support.
Thank you for being here. And I'd like to thank all of you for being here today. It's been another inspiring show. Thank my guest, Jeff Rechter, for coming on. And from my heart to yours, I hope you will take it up and share this show with people that you care about, love, and share this network with them. This is how we all grow and learn and become better versions of ourselves. So take care. Until next time, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and you'll be able to do the impossible also.